Hi there, you're listening to the Paralegals on Fire podcast show, where you'll be getting tips and actionable strategies that you can use right now to fast track your paralegal career. I'm your host, Ann Pearson, former paralegal and paralegal manager who left big law in the concrete jungle to start my own company, the Paralegal Bootcamp, where we give online courses that help paralegals make more money, increase their job security, and cut out the learning curve. All right, let's jump right into today's episode. Are you a new litigation paralegal who's been told that you've just got to put in your time and eventually your paralegal salary will be more than just barely a living wage? I'm here to tell you that's not true. I've been in the legal industry for 30 plus years, and over the last 14 years, I've trained thousands of paralegals, spoken with thousands of attorneys and managers across the country. And I'm here to tell you that it does not have to take a decade to see success as a litigation paralegal. You might be like some of the paralegals I've talked to who's not even making enough money to get by. Like, that low paralegal salary means you have to go get a second job just to get by. I've seen it. I've read the posts in the groups and stuff. I want to help you fix that. So my roadmap, I talked about it last week. Hopefully you've already registered, but if you haven't registered, you need to go do it now because it's this week. So it's a free webinar that I'm going to show you how to maximize your earning potential in those early years, how to make up maybe a little bit for the lack of experience that's on paper, and how to get a bigger raise and bonus. I'm calling it the Roadmap to Six-Figure Earnings, Insider Strategies for New Litigation Paralegals. In just 60 minutes, you'll have a solid roadmap of what to do now to be able to make more money and hopefully be able to dump that second job and start enjoying your paralegal career. So remember, I've got three different dates to choose from. Tuesday, just tomorrow. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., that one's almost full. So you might want to choose the one that's on Saturday the 27th at noon. And I've also got one next week, which will be the last one, May 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. This is episode 121, and I want to talk about how everything doesn't have to be a rush project. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't. I know it feels like that because attorneys have a reputation for being procrastinators. We've all seen the memes and the jokes about it. They've all seen them too. So we assume that's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been, and I guess we just have to get used to it. What if it didn't have to be that way? Can you prevent all rush projects with what I'm going to talk about today? No. But what if you could reduce them by 50%? Even more of a reduction would be better. But imagine if you're currently dealing with one rush project every single day and you could get that down to just two or three a week, life would be a little easier. The result is going to be less stress for you and a better work product. Maybe even less late nights and weekends. Let's start with the big picture of the problem. When everything is a rush project, mistakes are more likely to happen. When you're focused more on the time of getting something done, you're not focused as much on getting it done right. You know your work product could be better if you had more advance notice of the project or the deadline. The problem is the attorney waits until the last minute to give it to you. So you really have three options if you want to change this. Option one would be leave and go to work for an attorney who's not a procrastinator. Good luck with that one. No, I'm just kidding about that one. Well, I mean, they do exist, but so do unicorns. The problem with this option, besides being unemployed, is that there's no real way of guaranteeing that the next one won't be the same way. How could you possibly figure that out at the interview? When they ask, "Do you have any questions for me?" I guess you could say, "Actually, I do have a question. Are you a procrastinator? Do you wait until the last minute to give work to your paralegals?" I mean, I'm definitely kidding on this one. I don't recommend that you quit your job and go find an attorney who's not a procrastinator. But option two is you can try to change them. Start pulling your hair out now if you decide that this is the option that you want to take. I can tell you in the 30 plus years that I've been working with attorneys, you're not going to change them. Is it completely impossible? No, nothing is 100% impossible, but it's not likely. But you can change them a little bit if you go with option three, which is change you. If you can't leave and you can't change them, then the only other option is to change you. You might be thinking, wait a minute, Anne, they're the problem, not me. Why do I have to be the one to change? Hear me out for a minute. Try to keep an open mind. There are two things that you can change that you do have control over. One is to change what you do, and two is to change how you think. Let's start with one. Change what you do. It means you stop enabling them and their behavior. Now, I'm not saying that when they bring you that last-minute project that you say, no, I'm not doing it because you waited too long. I'm not saying that at all. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I think I've told you guys this story before, but if you're a new listener or it's been a while, it's still worth me repeating it. Back in the day when I was a litigation paralegal, I worked for an attorney, many attorneys, but this one particular attorney was known, very well known in the firm, for how she waited until the last minute. What she was also very well known for was her appellate briefs. And everybody knows if she's in charge, it's going to be a mad dash to get something filed on time. Now, this was back in the day. I'm going to date myself here, but it was back in the day where there was no e-filing. You either sent something by U.S. mail, a courier, or the paralegal would file it with the court. And if you waited too long, like the courier would not come get it and guarantee that it would get filed if it was after a certain time, right? Depending on which court it was and what time they closed and all that. So they're putting their reputations on the line and they're not going to miss it. They don't want to get blamed for it. So they had a cutoff time. Well, we would always know if she's writing this brief, we're going to miss that cutoff time. So I knew I was going to be driving it. So I had to drive to Rome, Georgia to, so this wasn't an appellate brief, but it was in the district court in Rome, Georgia. And I think it was like a summary judgment. Yeah, it was summary judgment motion and brief or a response to one. Sorry. Anyways, doesn't matter. But so I have to leave. And what's typical, maybe a 90-minute drive to get there. So the courier's final cutoff was maybe 2:30 or 3 o'clock or something. So we missed that. It's 3:30 by the time she finally puts her signature on it and we get copies and get out the door. So, but it's on a Friday and Atlanta traffic, even back then, was horrible between 3, 4, 5 o'clock. So once I got onto the side roads in North Georgia, I had to make up the time because I'm stressed now. I don't know how I'm going to get there. So I'm doing 90 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. I made it to the clerk's office just as security was getting ready to lock the front door. I literally am like, please, please let me in. I'm going to be in such big trouble if I don't get this brief filed. So on my way back, I was very upset at myself. I was pleased that I got the brief filed, but I was very upset at myself because at the time I had a teenage daughter. And maybe she wasn't even a teenager by that time. But anyways, I had a daughter and a husband and a couple of dogs, you know, the typical family thing. And I thought to myself, I could have either killed myself or hurt somebody really badly, right? If somebody had pulled out in front of me, you know, going down that road. And I did that to enable that attorney to wait too long to file it. So the next time one had to be filed in the same court, I didn't go 90 miles an hour. And she even pushed it even further. I don't even think I left the office that time until like 3:45 or something. And there was just no physical way to make it unless you went 100 miles an hour. And so I didn't make it on time. I did the speed limit. I did maybe 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, something I was comfortable with, but I didn't break the law. So I tell you that story because after that next brief that didn't get filed on time, she learned her lesson. Did she learn her lesson and never procrastinate or wait until the last minute? No, but she did it a lot less frequently for sure because she had to report to the attorney and the client that it didn't get filed on time. And so it wasn't like someone was going to blame Anne, right? Oh, Anne, it's your fault. You should have been doing 100 miles an hour, you know? Now, please don't take this to mean that missing a deadline is the way to change a procrastinating attorney. I didn't miss the deadline on purpose. I just made the decision that I was not going to break the law or risk my life to meet a deadline that she had pushed to the limit. The point of that story is that until it affects them, they really have no reason to change. When you're stressed out to the max, like Mach 10 stress, trying to get those exhibits in motion together before it gets e-filed right before the deadline, let's say you've got 10 minutes, but you really know you need 20 or 30. Is that attorney experiencing any of that? No. Do they know you're experiencing that? No. Do they know that you're about ready to blow a gasket and that you're cursing at them under your breath? No. They don't know any of that. And then the next day, you keep quiet, get your work done, and you wait until the next emergency project and do it all over again. If you want them to stop waiting until the last minute for everything, then you have to tell them. You have to tell them how it's affecting you, how it's affecting your work product, how it might affect the client, and how it could be different. You've got to be open, honest, and specific. You've got to be willing to have the hard conversations. Which brings me to number two, change how you think. This is how it can be different. Develop a proactive mindset. According to Stephen Covey, people with a proactive mindset don't blame their circumstances, they change their response. Your circumstance is that the attorney is a procrastinator, you know that. You've tried to change them and it doesn't work. Now you've had the courageous conversation so that they're aware of how this is affecting you, the work product, which is an extension of them, etc. Now, you've got to tell them how it can be different. If you keep up with what's going on in the client files and you know that there are usually certain things that happen at certain times, then what if you proactively started preparing for them in advance instead of waiting for the attorney to tell you what to do? Let me give you an example. Let's say you're a litigation paralegal and you work in products liability. Every time a new case comes in, the attorney asks you to draft a motion to remove the case from state court to federal court. And you know that, but they always wait until the very last day that an answer has to be filed to do that motion. So draft it now and send it to them to review. You know that the next thing that happens is discovery requests get served on the plaintiff. Start drafting them now instead of waiting until you get the order to remove the case. Put together a new case checklist of all the things that you do in the various stages of the client files. Also, make sure that you're copied on everything that comes in related to the client file so that you know in advance when something is due. I'm telling you, I have never once heard an attorney complain that their paralegal was too proactive. Trust me, they will appreciate you being proactive. Is this going to prevent you from ever receiving a last-minute project? No. But it will definitely reduce the number of them. All right, I hope this helped you. Have a great day, and I'll see you next week. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, hit the subscribe button in whatever platform you're listening. And please take a quick minute and leave a review of the podcast and share this episode with just one colleague or friend who you think would benefit from what we discussed today. Share the knowledge and the entire paralegal profession elevates. See you next week. Bye for now.